Fred.
Venice Diary.
Welcome to Global Critics Venice Voice on Fred Film Radio, your daily dose of film analysis and debate every day live from the Venice Film Festival. I'm your host, Rita Di Santo, and I'm thrilled to be joined once again by my brilliant colleagues from around the world. From France.
Barbara Lauré de la Charrière, fausse française. Actually, I'm German, and I write for website, UGC website.
And then from Germany.
My name is Pamela Jahn, and I write for a number of German language magazines, Indie Kino, Tip Berlin, and also Ray Film Magazine.
And then from South Africa, first time ever, we have critics from South Africa, our wonderful...
Matthew Jenner, International Cinephile Society.
That's great. So this is a day nine of our Venice Film Festival coverage, and today we'll be discussing the final movies in competition. Let's start from Silent Friend by Hungarian director Ildikó Enyedi. The story focuses on the relation between humans and nature. It's structured around a majestic jungle Bilboa, in a botanic garden in a German university town. And these three become a witness to three different eras, 1908, 1972, and 2020. So three episodes and three protagonists. The first episode is shot in 35 millimeters. The second episode, 1972, is shot in 16 millimeters. And the 2020 is naturally shot in digital.
Yeah, if I can start already, for me that was like a bomb. I was just blown away. I saw it last night in the press screening, and it comes late at the end, and you're not really waiting for such wonderful surprises. I have seen her previous films, her first two films, which were already extraordinary, and then there was one I prefer not to talk about, the last one. Let's keep it a little bit. So I was a little bit wary to know, to find out what is coming, you know, and it was absolutely blowing me away.
It's a longer movie. It's 137 minutes, but I can't believe I was there. Thinking, okay, yeah, after 100 minutes, I will leave. I will give 90 minutes. But then at the end, I wanted more after the credits.
It's a beautiful way of intertwining those three different stories. You're completely there all the time with all three main characters. And they all focus on certain aspects of, you know, the of nature, of life as well, and love, I thought. And it really makes you appreciate, again, what cinema can do in all different kinds of, you know, in different areas, because one is focusing on photography as well, the very early period, 1908. And... all the way up to 2020, where kind of even the pandemic seems somewhat not so bad as it actually was experienced by all of us. You know, there's a certain kind of mystery around that, in the loneliness that the character experiences. Yeah.
It's just one of those things where you need to... It's a film about plants and our relationship with the natural world, but it teaches us so much about the human condition, human nature. So it's very interesting that you look towards plants to teach us more about ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think Enyedi's just a master. Her last film, as Barbara said, was not great, but On Body and Soul is probably one of the best.
One of the milestone films of film history. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Just, it's so brilliant, and I think that she's really, it's a great return to form for her. She's amazing.
This is started in the end, started and closed in 2020 during COVID. And I was thinking how incredible it is, because it's more almost a commentary of our time. Why we had COVID? Because human being always felt superior to nature. And this movie is also help us to reconnect with nature, to learn, to rebalance, to harmonize ourselves. And it's incredible the look of the movie. How incredible growth is from the black and white to this 16 millimeters, very colorful, 1972. Yeah. It's amazing how much the colors change. Mm-hmm. And also the black and white is so appropriate, because at the beginning we have this woman that is almost a feministic start. We have this woman that is the first woman be accepted in a university campus. I couldn't believe the women in Germany, they were not allowed to be to study at university. We are in 1902. It's incredible. At the beginning of it's incredible.
The work of the camera is absolutely remarkable, incredible. There's nothing. I think there's very, very difficult to film trees. There have been some documentaries about trees, and you find out it's very difficult. It's vertical, you know, either you go up or you go down or from left to right. And the way this photographer, cinematographer transforms the trees and the nature and the growing and the blossoms that come out of the sea, it's absolutely mind-blowing. Mm. Huh? It's a remarkable work, adapting each, and the camera adapts to each part of the three time periods.
She sets it up very beautifully in that she starts with the 2020 era and with the episode, and kind of slowly, very slowly weaves you into the story. And the 2020 part is almost like a meditation on nature as well, because of the slowness of the slow pace, and also the kind of the main character has this kind of, you know, very gentle,
the researcher,
very
university professor,
very gentle kind of personality. And then you don't expect those other two episodes be so vibrant and so full of life, especially Lula Wedler, who plays Greta in the very early episode in 1908. She's such a force of life, and that contrast is really well done in the film, especially then also swapping to 1972, which is really kind of quirky and has that kind of, you know, kind of almost hippie feel to it as well. And yeah, especially the humor, I think, is also something that is very great in the film.
It's also interesting how it was inevitable that we were going to eventually get films that look at COVID. That's something that we've always avoided, thinking like, oh, we don't need to make movies about COVID anytime soon. So I think this is the first time COVID has been handled in a way that's not tacky, not fear-mongering. It's almost showing how the stillness, the quietness of the isolation. Hmm. I thought that was very interesting.
And it's always interesting that the film talks, I mean, compared to Body and Soul, which was a very, how shall I put it, prude film, you know, with the sentiments, but they were, you know, hold back. And here it's very open. It's very sexual in the fact, but you don't see the sex. I mean, but it's very sexual.
It's sexual, it's sensual, it's elegant, it's beautiful.
Exactly.
It's an homage to life.
And it's so much fun. I mean, the idea that they sent the sperm for the ginkgo's tree, you know, and then you see the blossoms coming out. It's mesmerizing. Yeah.
Visually, it's very playful as well. Mm. The way she manages to include also the research in it, you know, the brain waves and the colors that, you know, it's an outstanding piece of cinema.
Okay. We will all talk to our plants at home now.
You know? So we are all excited about this movie. And I can tell you in advance that this movie tonight is receiving the Fipreschi Award at Best Movie in Competition. Well deserved.
You are not.
Wonderful. Congratulations. So let's talk about the second movie in competition that we have this today. Is The Sun Rises in Us All by Kai Shang-jun. A man for love take the blame on a crime and get to prison, but the woman who he loved leave him for another man. After many years, they meet again.
this was a very different kind of film compared to Silent Friend. I don't think it's perfect by any means. I think it's much weaker than Kai's previous film. I think he won the Silver Lion for his previous film. I think that it's got an interesting approach, but I think it falls apart sort of in following through in all of the ideas. But it does try, and it's relatively successful in being a slice of life, social realist drama about modern life in China. But it's very simple, very quiet, until the end when it becomes a little bit more dramatic.
There is this strong contrast between this incredible love, this man love this woman really in an incredible, passionate way, and on the background of this miserable city and places, everything looks like miserable. Only this love is alive, and it's incredible. I don't want to spoil the end, but I felt this already. It's a big surprise, like a Greek tragedy. So anyway, I hope it's like a kind of movie. They need more. It has lots of ideas, yes, but lack of courage. That's what I feel. But I really love this Greek tragedy, this dramatic tone, very, very powerful. Okay, let's move to the next one. And is an Italian movie. It's the last movie in competition that we have seen today. And is by Franco Maresco. And the title is...
Bravo Bene.
Bravo Bene is the English title. And the funny thing is Bravo Bene doesn't have any English meaning, does it?
No.
And the Italian title is Un Film Fatto Per Bene. So it's like the director refuses to translate in English the title, but he wanted an English title.
Yeah.
So...
It's a very Italian film, in a certain way. It's an insider film. It's like it belongs to Venice. you always have films like this in Venice where you feel all of a sudden you are not part of this country. There's things missing, you know. You have to check who are these people who are talking they're talking about. But it's still, it was very, very interesting. I saw one of
previous one, films,
The Mafia, which I really enjoyed a lot. So it was amazing to see all of a sudden this filmmaker in a totally different context.
So we have this apocalyptic feeling in Maresco's movie, but also we have this love for cinema, because the black and white, the sky, is always like Buñuel.
Yeah,
it's always recalled as a great cinema. I mean, I remember watching Cinico TV, that is in the movie, he mentioned Cinico TV, but it's amazing how much he can write. It's incredible the way he wrote this movie, because he has so many layers, and everything is not improvised, as they say in the movie. It's very well acted, written, and Carmelo Bene is a man of art and a theater actor that is not known in the rest of the world, but he has been a really important man and man of art in the Italian culture underground. Mm-hmm. And this is an underground director. It's amazing that Alberto Barbera had the courage to have this in competition.
Yeah.
What I found most interesting about it was I like a lot of people, I know a little bit about Italian culture, a little bit about Italian cinema. I'm sure I saw one or two of Bene's films along the way. But I've also, it's got so many niche references that you need to be Italian to understand. But it's never alienating you. You feel like it's very accessible. It compels you to go out and research find out more, watch these films. So it's very accessible. It's very endearing. It lets the outsiders in. It gives us a little taste of what this underground figure actually was like. And it's very rich. It's very complex. It's very funny. Very playful.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like a Schwanensang.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an end game, yes, in a certain way. Yes. But this is because this will disappear.
Yes.
I mean, this kind of cinema is going to disappear.
Yes.
And what I retain, quite interesting thing, there was also a round table about artificial intelligence, you know, which makes it possible. I mean, we have the technology now. And in the film, there's this passage where they say, now technology, this is a technology, you make the films, you know, everybody can make a film. You don't need the talent anymore. You need to know the technology. And this is a terrible thing to say. And it's a terrible reality, I think, which is...
But I think from Sicily, where he is based, he can read the world.
Yeah.
Because when he talks about politics, he talks about Berlusconi. But what about the politics of today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we recognize that kind of politics in other countries? Can we recognize that kind of media in other countries? Can we recognize that kind of younger singer in other countries?
This kind of culture has existed in other countries as well. In France, we had this kind of underground culture in another way, you know, but it has disappeared already.
But it's incredible also. So the humor in it, because I felt guilty to laugh, because you laugh for somebody that is like stupid or idiot, like he says, and it forces you to laugh for that. So it's really like a challenge to watch the movie, to understand and to read the reality and tragedy for what it is.
I think it creates a very complex situation where you don't know whether something is funny because it intends to be funny,
yeah,
or if it's daring you to actually laugh at things that you really shouldn't be laughing at.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the last day. Thank you very much for being here tonight. I'm so happy to celebrate this last episode with you all. And we have a game at the end of each day. So it's for the titles that we mentioned, starting from Silent Friend. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
4 thumbs up. Wow, amazing. So, for the sun rises in us all. Wow, cruel. All thumbs down. And for Franco Maresco. Thumbs up, 3 thumbs up. 3 thumbs up. My mind is wobbling, but then it's okay. So, we have some titles left from, because this is the final one. We have some titles left from my other episode. We don't have the time to comment. Just the thumbs.
Just
the voice of Hind Rajab. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs up. Okay, so we have 2 thumbs up. It's Silent Friend and the voice of... I'll do it again. Silent Friend. Thumbs up. The voice of Hind Rajab.
Yeah.
Ah, so we have a tie. 2 titles win the Global Critics Venice Voice of 2025. Thank you.
You forgot one film.
Which one?
Ozon.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes. Ozon, unfortunately, the previous episode was 3 thumbs down. I'm sorry, Barbara.
I don't
next
agree.
Time, I don't will agree. Invite
who
you.
Who are these people?
Next time, I will invite you when we discuss on Ozon.
Yes, I agree. Okay. I thought it was a beautiful
film. Have another title that you want to, that you feel, that, sorry, not that we didn't mention at the end.
No, but today the film would have probably, The Stranger from Ozon would have probably three thumbs up.
Yeah. And you would have got our...
Our
vote. And you?
I think that I really enjoyed the Park Chan-wook quite a bit.
Oh, yes. No other choice. As
yes.
4 thumbs up. It was, and then we also had Begonia,
yes,
that we have the very passionate, I know, 1 thumbs down. Anyway, we have 2 titles left for today. So thank you so much. And have a wonderful evening and end of the festival.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fred, 24/7 on Fred FM and smartphone app.